Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. How are you, my friend?
Salam, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, how you been?
Good to see you.
Good to see you too, always
it
a pleasure.
Seems you have been eating some vegetables lately.
Oh, we were just talking about that,
you
yes.
You look good.
Thank you, you too also. Number one genocide, the only genocide that's happening here in the world. We don't hear much about it. Why is that?
I don't know, but Rohingya people are indigenous people living in their ancestral land in Burma. And they are just being killed, slaughtered, thrown out of their homes. 284 villages have been burned to ashes in 15 days.
How many?
284 in 15 days. By now, it is more than 400.
For the average Westerner, people who they probably never heard Burma, can you give us a little bit of a picture? Where is this at? Is it by China?
Burma and Myanmar, yeah, Myanmar are in Southeast Asia.
Yes.
North to that is China, and west to that is Bangladesh, and on east is Thailand.
Uh-huh. And how long has this genocide been happening?
Well, it has been a slow-burning genocide for years, but now they're going for the final solution. And, you know, majority of Rohingyas are no longer in their land. They have been thrown out.
Mm-hmm. Now, you just came back from there recently, is that right?
Yes, I recently came back. This was my second trip to the area. And
it's not that easy to get in there, I heard.
Well, you know, getting inside Burma is almost impossible now to that area.
It's not just hard, it's impossible, but right. You made it inside.
Right. No, I did not make it inside the Burma. I cannot go there. They will just throw me in the jail as soon as they get hold of me.
How close did you make it?
I went to the border from the Bangladesh side. Mm-hmm. That's where the refugees are. There are almost 1 million refugees at this moment. They are very religious people, very practicing people. You rarely find any woman who doesn't have her head covered. They are very religious people. And they were very self-reliant people. They were living off their land. They were not dependent on anybody. The government took away their citizenship in 1982. And because of that, they cannot enter a school. They cannot go to a clinic. They cannot have a job. So they were living off land, their own land. And they're not dependent on anybody. Suddenly, there are 1 million people who are dependent on the world to give them food. Mm-hmm. They are still want to work, but work is not allowed. They're just sitting in these camps and next to each other, barely from one. And these are not proper tents, as you see in Syrian crisis and all that. They just cut the hill, wood from the hill, and put the stick up there and put some plastic at the top of it or some sheet. That's where how they're living. And they put roots of the tree to dry up so they can cook with it. So they are very self-reliant people. So I saw a lot of their huts have more than Chicago. Every 100 home or so, huts, bamboo and plastic huts, I will see a little bit of small solar panel. I said, wow, these guys are way advanced than Chicago. So it turned out the government will have electricity for the Buddhist Burmese, but in the same village, they will not let have electricity Muslims have. So Muslim went into solar panel business. And so that's how they have been surviving. So while running away, some of them were able to pick up their little, it's very small solar panel, 1 foot by 1 foot, and they just brought with them.
Tell us about some of the people you met. You met some the only surviving imams.
Yes, there is a, while I was meeting people, I keep meeting people who have horrible story to tell from a village called Tulotuli. T-U-L-I, Tuli, T-O-L-I. So I say, what is happening in Tulotuli? I say, what? So people were saying half of the old people were murdered and a lot of women were raped, including young girls. So I said, did you have any leaders? He said, oh, yeah, former chair of our village council is here. I said, take me to him. So I spoke to him. Then I met another former chair of Tulotuli. And I learned that, as the villages were being burned all around, they were assured by the current chair, who is a Buddhist Burmese, that, okay, don't worry, nothing will happen to you. Worse come worse, they will burn your houses, but you'll be okay. Mm-hmm. So people were running around all around, but these people stayed trusting that mayor. And guess what? 8 a.m. on August 30th, helicopters landed and they came attacking and killing. They killed, they separated men and women, killed men and boys and women. They asked them to sit 8 a.m. until 3, 4 p.m. in water, just head up. And then they came out. They will take 5 girls and 5 soldiers. They will take them to temple and rape them. And so while talking here and there, I said, did you have any imams? He said, oh, yes, we had an imam. So I met the imam. So it turned out there were 5 masjid and 5 imams. And 4 of them were murdered. He's the only one who survived. The way he survived was that they were, some of them were doing a meeting at a watchtower to watch out what's going on. And that's where the attack began. So they were able to find out and ran. And since military came from the north, they were in the south, they were able to save their families as well.
Now, we know that after World War II, one of the greatest genocide that happened, you were actually a part of helping bring, creating awareness to that. You did a lot of great work for the situation in Bosnia. That was a horrific, ethnic cleansing that was happening there. And now, it seems like we have another great genocide happening
again.
And the world is, what's the world doing?
Yes. Situation is worse than Bosnia in some ways. You know, in Bosnia, more people probably were killed. Mm-hmm. But one common thing is rape. In Bosnia, I remember 50,000 Muslim Bosnian women were raped.
Yes.
And I remember sitting in the, I have daughters, God has blessed me with 3 daughters. I was sitting in their room as they were little girls at that time and were crying, thinking of those sisters in Bosnia. So I launched a campaign, actually, in America, got all Muslim organizations together. And then we aligned ourselves with National Organization of Women. And we have marches and demonstration in 100 cities. And we got rape declared a war crime. And many people have been punished since. In Burma situation, that's their main weapon.
They use it as an actual weapon.
Actually, as a weapon. And that's how they do it. I mean, it's not just some soldier got crazy and he did anything like that. It's nothing like that. It's a very planned method. And that's how they do it. United Nations surveyed, and they say 52% of all women they surveyed, Rohingya women, have been raped. How they do it? They will go, for example, in one case, they will just pick up girls and take it to mosque, and they rape them in the mosque while soldiers are having guns towards all the villagers. So villagers hear all of that, right? Their babies and their girls crying. As young as 6-year-old, brother. I met 13-year-old. I met 14-year-old who got everybody in the family killed, and she got raped. So when they hear this, they say, oh, run from here, because Muslim honor their women. And everybody does, but Muslims have extraordinary importance given to that, to all sexual violence. So people ran because of that. Other places, they will go in the village, just pick up a girl and rape. And once this happened for a few months, you'll say, oh, what in the world is going on? I met a girl in Indonesia. Through the boat, she arrived. And I say, you know, why did you leave? He said, my parents sold everything and put me on boat. And he said, alone by yourself? And she will not answer me. She'll just look down. So a person next to her say, you know, the reason is that these soldiers will come every week here and there and just barge into the home and rape her. So parents wanted her to at least be free from that slavery. So they are using rape as a weapon of genocide, so people can run away from their homes.
And who exactly is doing this?
Military.
The military.
Mainly military.
What do you call them, the Burmese military?
Yeah, you can call it Burmese military. They have another name for it, but yeah. Burmese military is a good way of saying it.
And you have, to them, there's a religion connected to it. We obviously, we don't blame a religion. like people try to blame Islam, but they are connected. There's some extremist monk.
The difference is that there's no one extremist monk. There are a whole lot of extremist monks.
Who are Buddhists.
They are Buddhists.
Yes.
And one extremist monk, for example, they're giving theological justification. They're saying that, oh, you know, they get this philosophy of people are born again and things like that.
Yeah.
So they say Muslims actually are not human beings. They were insects. So when you're killing them, you're not killing human beings. You're killing insects. This is one theology. Now, that is considered extremist monk. But now the most respected, highly regarded Buddhist monk, who is currently visiting America, by the way, he lecturing the military officers.
American military?
No, the Buddhist officers in Burma.
In Burma?
They are all sitting on the floor. He's sitting on the stage all by himself.
Yeah.
He is telling them killing non-Buddhist is not a crime. It's okay.
Yeah.
And he's giving theological justification.
See, in Islam, that's a crime. It's clearly a crime.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's some Muslim commit crimes, but they don't change the theology. Yeah.
But you would hear, imagine if the situation was reversed now, right? You see these double standards happening. Why do you have, so you mentioned now these commanders, these in the military, this is something that they're propagating, and they're using their religion, Buddhism, to go ahead and
not some freak groups like ISIS type, which is a isolated group, but they're
the whole military,
the mainstream people,
mainstream, not mainstream a fringe
mainstream
element.
Monks are telling the main army that it's okay to kill.
Wow.
That's, and they are on record. This is on video, by the way. You can Google it. And the guy is visiting America. He was in Los Angeles a week ago, went to Minnesota. Now he's in Austin.
Uh-huh.
Coming to America on a full visa to preach Buddhism to the Buddhist here, while he is on record just 2 months ago preaching that it's okay to kill non-Buddhists.
And he got the visa, he got the okay.
He got visa and everything. Probably nobody knows that how horrible this person is. Mm-hmm. I think that's why some of us are writing to State Department.
What's his name?
Sitgo, something like that.
What's the other main monk that they had him on the time?
Virathu.
Yeah.
He is the number one preacher of hate. I think military controls him. I met one of his friend who's a Muslim, that preacher. And that Muslim guy, he's a refugee, and he became refugee because that hatemonger told him it's not a good time for you to be here. You better get out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
He says that he doesn't used to be that bad, but military took control of his monastery. And Buddhist monastery, women are not allowed to stay inside the monastery. You know, at night, there will be no women in the monastery.
Mm-hmm.
Except in his monastery, there's a woman. And that woman gives him injections and whatnot. So he thinks that military somehow is controlling this monk to continue to do the dirty propaganda. But that guy, people knew, is extremist. We are talking Sitgo, which is the number one monks of that country, who is saying, based on the Buddhist theology or whatever interpretation he came up with, it's okay to kill non-Buddhist.
It's okay to pretty much kill anyone who's not a part of Buddhism.
Yep.
Muslims in particular now in this area.
Of course, he's addressing the military. A military officer is sitting in front of him.
Yeah.
He's justifying them in case they have some guilty conscience of killing Muslim, is justifying them it's okay to kill non-Muslim.
Where is the Buddhist world? Is the Buddhist world speaking up?
Well, there are some people speaking up. Dalai Lama have spoken out. American Buddhist community, meaning people who are converted to Buddhism in America, they have been good allies of Burma Task Force. I'm chair of Burma Task Force USA, and we have been working on this to stop the genocide for 5 years. So they are good allies. They have been speaking out against them. And I was speaking at Roosevelt University on this topic. A Buddhist stood up and he started sharing the teachings of Buddha that this is wrong. And it reminded me of Muslim trying to use Quran to tell what ISIS is doing wrong. So they are unfortunately on defensive, although it's none of their fault. But in Burma right now, all lay people, political government and military, all on the same page. They don't believe anything wrong is going on over there, while the rest of the world is crying what is going on. But rest of the world, unfortunately, not is stopping this genocide.
Some lunatic, he lets off a pipe bomb, and he's somehow connected to, even though he's going doing opposite to Islam, it's all over mainstream media, and you know, there's a big frenzy. And then we've, like you talked about before, Muslims, it's one of the, almost like if there's six pillar, it would be, you know, we become professional condemners, right?
Yes.
So now, what are you seeing? You're on the ground. What are you seeing as far as the media? Like, we hear a little bit here and there, but where is the world globally? Are they hearing
about...
You see,
one of the natural problems with America is that whatever happens in America, we think that's the main story. Whatever happens in the world is a very secondary, if not below that. So media is covering here and there what is happening in terms of genocide. But it's not going on that case, because who are these people, faraway people, Muslim to begin with? So you demonize Muslims so much that anybody killing Muslims is okay type of a business. Of course, the Trump administration, which regularly speaks himself against Muslims and the Muslim community, and now he says that Islamist and Chinese are the most important threat to America. I mean, China got guns. Who are Muslims? They're buying guns from America. Don't sell them. Period.
Yeah.
I mean, so there's a fear of Islam which justifies these type of things. So when I see what Muslims in Burma are accused of, they're the same thing they accuse of Muslims in America. The only difference is, well, thank God we have law and order, and if somebody attacks us, they get arrested. In Burma, it's okay to say anything, do anything, and you will always get away.
That's my next question. What's the justification behind that? Because, you know, usually there's some picture that's painted, there's something that's propagated to pump people up. So you mentioned one thing about the actual justification from the religious text.
They're saying they're trying to take over Burma. Well, Muslims are not more than a couple of percent, but how are they going to take over the country? Muslims have no army of their own. In Burma, there are five groups, Christians and Buddhists, who are fighting the Burmese government with guns.
How many groups?
At least five.
Yeah.
It used to be, you know, in principle, there are about 20, yeah. But five are main groups fighting Burmese government with guns. They are not called terrorists. These Rohingyas are called terrorists who are peacefully begging, please give our citizenship back to us. So Rohingya people have an option. Follow what other Burmese are doing, fight with the government, fight with the military who is killing them. They are so peaceful, they have chosen, okay, now we just want our citizenship back. They are not asking for country. They are not asking to do anything else. They say, just let us live in our location. You know, they're indigenous people living in their ancestral land. It's just let us live.
So they're people without a citizenship and without a home, without a land.
They were citizens.
And they got
their
it taken
citizenship
away.
Was taken away. Actually, the last Muslim used to be members of the parliament in Burma, brother.
Yeah.
Actually, the last member of the parliament who retired just in 2015 is sitting right here in U.S.
So there are people without a citizenship and without a land now.
Yeah, of all their land, all their mosque, everything is destroyed.
So where are they at? They have them in concentration camps?
Well, there are two places. Genocide is going on in Burma, so they have taken them about 200,000 are in those concentration camps where hardly any food is given. About 100 to 200,000 are running around or in villages which still have not been attacked. But they keep attacking. Last 2 weeks, they have attacked and destroyed 20 villages. So they're just sitting duck at this moment. And they cannot run to Bangladesh because the main route to Bangladesh, they have mined them. So people go through, they get blasted. So the only route is they go further south on the sea, and luckily somebody can pick up. Nobody's picking them up. I recently saw photos. They have taken bamboos and put some plastic bottles, milk bottles to it, and they're floating on it for 4 miles. So many of them are drowning.
What about the Prime Minister there? She actually won the Nobel Peace Prize. Is that right? What's she saying, doing?
She's not even a prime minister. She's called the some senior counselor. And because by law, she's prohibited from becoming a prime minister, because the military, before they allowed quote-unquote democracy, they changed the constitution And in that constitution, everything is designed for military to keep control in their hand. So military, for example, there is a clause in the constitution that military can do anything. You cannot try military in any court, in Burma or outside Burma. Mm-hmm. So, and they control the military, they control the most of the thing, interior, border, and things of this nature. So she is essentially a collaborator. She doesn't have much power, but she has the power to resign. She is not resigning. So it means she is responsible for it.
Tell us more. You're on the ground there. You you weren't able to get in. Why won't they let they don't allow media in the place?
They don't allow even United Nations inside that area where genocide is being committed. The United Nations has developed a committee to investigate. They're not giving visa to that committee to investigate. Actually, when they started this major warfare, major killing and genocide, which I consider to be final solution, on August 25th, they have been building up for a couple of months. A month and a half before they kick out the United Nations, all the non-governmental organizations who are providing help and relief, they were all kicked out before they started this operation. So it was well planned by the military.
Wow. What else have you seen on the ground there? Share any other experiences?
Brother, the situation is terrible for people who are living there, and they need a whole lot of help. And this help cannot be given by, you know, you and me giving a dollar here and a dollar there. It's a magnitude in which governments need to do more. I mean, I had a speaking last Sunday in Cleveland, and Doctors Without Borders, one of their member board of directors, who she just came back after serving 2 months in Bangladesh. She's a midwife. And she was saying that she has been to 6 or 7 conflict zones. He said, I have never seen anything like that ever, anywhere. So people are in terrible shape. It's a very tiny, very narrow type of an island. And there are a million people sitting there. A couple of millions were already residents of that area. There is a one tiny road which goes through that area. And it is always clogged because the well-meaning Bangladeshi Muslim bringing things for them and everybody. So what they need is, I think, something which I pleaded for Haiti, and it happened. They need 10 helicopters, 20 transport helicopters. So they take it food from the airport, and they deliver it to multiple distribution points. Now people sit there for almost two-thirds of the day to get food and ration. And that's not enough. And because of rape, there are a lot of unwanted pregnancies and different things. 80% of the people there are women and children. Men were either killed or they're in prison or somewhere. So more distribution, more aid, airlift, transport helicopters, that will alleviate the situation. But the worst scenario is that China and India is emerging as a real enemy of Muslim. I mean, China is communist and all that, but they are supportive of Myanmar, but they are not emerging as enemies of Muslim, but India is emerging as enemies of Muslim. These two countries are forcing Bangladesh to just throw these people back to Myanmar. Back to where? I mean, genocide is happening right there. They're still coming into Bangladesh, and you want them to start going back? So when I was there until November 29th or 30th, they were distributing forms for people to fill in and go back. Go back where? Which land? Which property? They're going to take them to concentration camp. They shouldn't go. Nobody should be forced to go unless their citizenship is restored, so their rights are at least theoretically restored. They get their property, their land, and their houses back, or get compensation for it. And there is some force. Either create a force out of Rohingya people, train them in defending themselves, so they are there, or send the United Nations, or send the Bangladesh army, or maybe the Bangladesh and the Myanmar army together safeguard people. Because they have done this in 78, 91, 95, 2012, 2016, 2017. They keep doing that. And then these people go back to start their life from ground zero. What is ground zero for them? No house, nothing. No education. No job. no land to do what? What type of humanity is this? I mean, this is the first genocide, brother, which is well documented through satellite, before and after. They have photos of before, after, before and after.
You can see all of that
on
satellite.
Oh, yeah, this is available online. So there is no genocide in the world history which is as well documented as this one, except those people who say never again are just sitting idle on their seats.
They need to say,
you know, never again is happening again. Let's do something to stop it.
Never again is happening again.
Never again is happening
and
again.
And people are just letting it happen in real time.
People, real time, live under the satellite eyes. Mm-hmm. And those images are printed everywhere.
Yeah. If people want to get a hold of you, if they want to try to do their part.
Yes, burmataskforce.org. Mm-hmm. burmataskforce.org, or they can go to burmamuslims.org, and we, two things you can do: sign up, we issue action alert that every week you could do 1 or 10 minute 15 minute, and there are things which you can do which are effective. And for this cause, if you want to donate, you can donate there. We're working to stop the genocide. We're doing that for 5 years. Now they're coming to final solution. And this is the time for people who care for humanity, who care for their daughters, who care for Aisha and Maria and Maryam and Fatima. This is the time for you to realize you need to stand up. America gives us rights. We can take a stand. We can contact our congresspersons. We can contact our senators. And there are bills in Senate and the House which we are trying to push. And people are listening. But the thing is, are enough of us are standing up?
Yeah. Thank you so much. May God Almighty Allah reward you for all your efforts and the wonderful work you're doing. Thank you for sharing your experience with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.